hello there on this rainy Sunday. This is being recorded on the, what is this, the 14th of May of 2006, and it is a rainy, nasty Sunday in Lufkin, Texas, which is 150, 160, 180 miles east of you, and everything already, you're in Fort Worth. Phil Blankenship is our guest, and he's
right.
In Fort Worth,
mm-hmm.
And it came through there last night, I guess.
It came through here last night. I didn't hear a thing. We didn't have any rain or anything, but it is a pretty day.
That's good. Kind of cool. What do you think the temp is?
It's about, I'd say mid-70s right now with a nice northeast wind.
So I've got that to look forward to
tomorrow. You've got that to look forward to.
Man, we have had some, for May, kind of strange weather. It was down in the, it was 49 degrees when I got up Saturday morning.
Good grief.
So that's, usually by this time, air conditioners are on and don't go off until October.
You know, that's the truth. And now it's supposed to be in the 50s, again this week.
Tonight, yeah.
Well, it saves my electric bill. I don't care.
Oh, yeah. So have Fort Worth, I guess you've been over to Billy Bob's.
Let's see. It's been a while, but yeah, I've been in there a time or two.
And been over to the stockyards and eaten at those good restaurants.
Oh,
over there.
There's some good ones over there.
Yeah, we spent, I think it was 4 years ago, we took a granddaughter and two granddaughters and a couple of their friends and spent a couple days up there looking around in Fort Worth. Fort Worth is a historic, great historic Texas town.
It really is, and I've lived here since 92 and 93, I guess, and I really like it over here. I like it more than Dallas. It's kind of a, Dallas is the hustle and bustle, and Fort Worth's kind of laid back, and that can be good and bad, but I really like it over here.
Yeah, Fort Worth seems like an easier going town than Dallas is. Dallas is New York City in Texas.
Oh, it is. It's just awful. I don't like to go over there anymore. Don't have any reason to go over there.
No, there isn't. So, you are totally blind?
Right.
Have been all your life, or
mm-hmm.
how did you start out this way?
Started out this way. And I sure did. Don't know anything else. Actually, I've always been able to see a little bit of light, but I call total blindness, if you have a little light perception, you're still not seeing anything.
No, you're not, other than being able to tell, I'd like to have enough light perception to tell if the tracks on my recorder are armed or not. It'd be nice to have that much.
I've never had that much. I could follow a flashlight around,
yeah,
and I can tell if the sun's out, and that's about it.
And what good is that?
None, really. Yes, I mean, I keep the blinds open. I open the blinds during the day, but that's about the size of it.
And you started life where? You're a Texas boy?
I'm a fifth-generation Texan. As a matter of fact, I was born in Greenville.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, it's northeast of Dallas,
mm-hmm.
kind of northeast Texas. And I went through a lot of what your guests went through. I was premature and in the incubator and too much oxygen, whole bit.
Yeah.
And my parents are from Denison, so we moved up there. My dad worked in Greenville at what is now East Systems. It was Timco back then.
What do they do? What do they make?
They are into the aircraft industry. He was a draftsman at one time.
Yeah.
And we moved back to Denison, and I had a neat childhood. I think up through when I was 6 or 7 years old, I played and ran and did whatever kids do, got in trouble.
Yeah?
You know.
So you played an instrument? You played a music?
Oh, Lord, no. I'll get into that later. You'll love that.
Okay. All right.
You will love that part.
But you had a romping, raging good childhood.
Oh, I had a good time. Played around, ran. You know, I had two next-door neighbors, little kids that I played with. And, I just did everything another normal little kid would do.
That's the way they should raise blind children. You're going to fall and hurt your head, but so decided kids.
My parents didn't know anything else. What else could they do? You know, they told me one time, they said, we didn't know what to do. We just did what we could.
Yeah. And you have other brothers and sisters? You do?
I have a sister that's 4 years younger than I am.
And so they just let you romp, and I guess they sent you to public school?
No, I went to your old Nemesis or alma mater or whatever.
Nemesis is right. You went to the Texas. but it's much changed. It's a whole different. There's not a scrap of anything left there that was there when I was there.
You know, it was really. I had a good first grade and second grade experience there with a lady named Eddie Langdon was my first grade teacher.
Uh-huh.
Really, really nice lady, and I had a good second grade teacher. We'll go into third grade.
But the second grade was still over, first and second grade was still over in K at that time?
First grade was, and second, when I was in second grade, they had built a new building You remember the one called the Complex? I don't know if you've ever heard of that one. That's a newer one.
I think that's there. Is that the building between the main building and College K?
Yeah, well, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And then they had a new elementary school building they built down there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I really didn't know I was blind until I went down there. The truth.
Yeah, you've heard me say that same thing. I didn't have any idea. I knew there was something different about me, but being blind certainly wasn't a burden to me till I went to that blind school.
I didn't care. I mean, I just flat did not care. My dad had a 55 Crown Victoria that he hot rodded up. I thought it was mine.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, I mean, my folks let me have my head. And I was interested in what I wanted to be interested in.
And this was like early 70s when you started
school? Yeah, I started school down there in the fall of 71.
I'm surprised they didn't send you to public school.
In a place like Denison, kind of out in the country, they really didn't know what to do. And I don't know. Of course, I don't remember all the decision makers and that kind of thing. But they didn't know what to do up there. You know, there was a law, my folks told me this later on, there was no law that a blind kid had to go to school.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I remember they had a couple of teachers come out from Wichita Falls, come over and evaluate me and do some stuff, and they said, we don't know how you're doing this. We need to send people up here and see how you're doing this with this kid.
Well, you know, that's probably true, about that law, that's probably true, because we'd get once or twice a year, we'd get some farm boy that was raised in, that was 12 years old and had, you know, was they had not didn't know anything, couldn't tie a shoe, couldn't dress himself, couldn't do anything. So I guess because parents back, of course, I was a lot older than you, but back then, I guess there wasn't a law that blind kids had to be educated. So they just, you know, they figured, hell, he can't do anything. We'll just keep him home, you know.
Well, and they didn't know what to, you know, people still to this day don't know how to treat blind people. And my folks, you know, God love them, I appreciate them, because they treated me like they would any other normal kid.
Yeah.
But they knew I needed the braille skills and this kind of thing, and I'm glad I went down there for
you
that.
You did. You needed that. And you know, if of course, the experience then was a whole lot different than mine. It was a much different situation, a much more liberal, and I'm sure, you know, a much better situation.
There were parts of it that were, but there were, I remember, I would stay after school because both my folks worked.
Uh-huh.
When I got down there and got settled, and I remember staying after school at the dorm. And I remember those old house parents, I mean, that you talk about. They were the same old ladies that were there 20 years before when you were in there.
They were. Lots of them were. When I first started, you had a teacher. Like, my fourth grade teacher was my cottage supervisor also.
Oh, is that right?
And boy, you talk about bad. If you screwed up in school, you were, you know, they didn't mind taking you to the cottage and punishing you for something you'd done. It was terrible. But
oh, my goodness.
But you had some of those same old people, I guess. And,
I'm sure I did.
They're mostly, like, we went back, I guess it was a year ago, August, to the Good Enoughs. Were the Good Enoughs there? I guess they were.
There was, and that brings the musical deal in. She was this lady named Mrs. Good Enough, was the music teacher.
Yeah, beautiful, wonderful lady.
In third grade, this is funny, in third grade, they gave all of us a music test.
Uh-huh.
I made a zero.
Really?
A zero. They didn't even post my score. It was, that is so funny, because I never was really interested in music anyway. I mean, I like to listen to it, but, you know, I never had any desire at all to play anything like that. But I made a zero on that thing.
That's amazing. They gave them a music test. Would you see if you were tone deaf or figure out?
I guess that's what it was. It was either down there, it was either music or wrestling. Or you were the nameless rabble of whatever.
That's true.
And I was a fat kid. And I was too fat to wrestle, even though, I mean, I was on the wrestling deal, you know, trying to do it. But
and you couldn't play music, so you were...
They put me in the wrestling deal, and it was like, okay, you know, you can do this. Well, all right, nobody gave me any instruction or anything. And I weighed 84 pounds when I was in the third grade, and they had kids 13 years old whipping my tail.
Yeah, I imagine.
So I ended up being just one of the, like I say, one of the nameless rabble of kids. They had good grades, though, down there.
We went back for the Goodenoughs when she had passed away, and they were honoring Forrest Goodenough. And he died. We're going to find out he died on the day they did this.
Uh-huh.
But the Blind School is just—it's not. You'd never know it was even the same place.
Oh, is that right?
It's just all. You need to go. You need to go back. You will someday end up in Austin and
you may do it. I went to Chris Cole in 1982 for a college prep thing, and they had some pretty good people down there. A lot of them are a lot of them though are government. They're government employees, and they don't care. And Linda, nah. Some of them really do. So,
well, that's the thing. The commission, before they help you, they want to evaluate you.
Oh, we'd that's like all I want to do. I'll get into that later. But
we'd like to evaluate you and find out what you. I don't need evaluating. I know what I need. You don't. You know,
exactly.
I can tell you what I need.
Exactly. I do. There is no love lost between me and the Texas Commission for Blind. I'll tell you what.
Well, me neither. But they did. I called them in '97 and said, "I'm fixing to buy me a computer. You want to help me or don't you?" And I don't give a damn which one you do. Well, sure. Sure enough, they had a little money then, and old Dan came out and they bought me an old NEC computer that I used about 6 months, a piece of junk. But they did. They bought me. Also bought me a. The neatest thing they bought me was a little dictionary, little talking dictionary.
Yeah.
If you don't have one, you ought to. They're just wonderful. They're reading along, and somebody says a word you don't know, just go look it up. You know.
Yeah.
Just
those little talking dictionaries.
I love
something
them.
Else.
All right, so you cruised through the old blind school, not wrestling and not doing music, but grades were pretty good.
Grades were real good, as I remember, down there. And then my dad got transferred up here to the Fort Worth, Dallas area in 74. So 74, 75, I was in fourth grade.
Yeah, what happened in third grade? You skipped that.
Third grade was interesting. I had a teacher I wasn't real crazy about. Made good grades. But it was just, I think she had been there for a long time, and there was just no, the teaching wasn't as good, I didn't think, as first and second. One of the things that happened to me was my parents wanted me to have mobility training. You know, they really didn't know anything about it, but they knew I needed it for some reason. And they said, okay, he needs mobility training. Well, what they did was they took me out of math class to do mobility training, so I lost about a year of math, which is not good. So in fourth grade, when I moved up here, I was in a class in Irving from fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. And I had a wonderful teacher named Dorothy Lloyd, just a super, super lady. And she took a look at me and evaluated me and said, okay, we're going to catch you up in math.
Yeah.
Dogged if she didn't.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I spent a lot of time studying, but doggone, I mean, she caught me up in a year and a half. She caught me up to fifth grade level. In math, they never held me back. I went through school, you know, from first through 12th, never being held back.
Really?
But that is absolutely what she did. I mean, it was just, you know, she said, you've got to do it. You know, you've got to do it. They messed you up. Here's what you're going to do. You know, and I just sat my tail down and did it.
What was, just from just see if I do, what was the old lady in the third grade's name? Do I know her?
Irene Harlan.
No, I missed her.
Irene Harlan. She was not, I hate to disparage somebody. I don't want to get, you know, in trouble, but
she's probably
I was not
listening.
A fan. I'll just put it to you that way. I'll be nice, not this way.
You didn't care for Miss Harlan.
Did not care.
We'll much. Just leave it at that.
But there was a lady, I don't know if you remember this lady named Mrs. Haygood.
Mrs. Haygood was my second grade teacher, sir.
Is that right?
Yes, sir, she was.
Funny dog. I got a funny story to tell you about.
She was a wonderful lady, and I was playing a little club here in Lufkin, a little restaurant called The Worst House, and the band director, Lufkin High School band director, came out, and he said, I bet I know somebody you know. Well, who are you talking about? He said, well, Miss Haygood is my mother.
I'll be darned.
So, yeah, Miss Haygood was, even though she failed me in the second grade, I forgave her for it, and she was a doll. She was a sweetheart.
She substituted. She was what Aspen's Langdon. Years later, when I talked to her when I graduated college, I called her, you know, to thank her for what she'd done for me. And I said, who was Mrs. Haygood? She said, she was the head teacher. And I said, oh, okay, kind of like a principal. And she said, sort of, in a way, over the elementary school.
Yeah.
Mrs. Haygood one time was substituting in my second grade class. And I came in one morning. She was there. I knew her, you know, and all. She used to ring the bell for lunch and all that kind of thing, cottage cake. Has a big old bell that they'd ring, and we'd go to lunch. And I kept asking her, Miss Haygood, can I do this? Can I do that? She said, are you able? I said, yes, ma'am. You said you need to say, may I do this or may I do that? Rest of the day, Ms. Haygood, can I do this? Are you able? Real nice lady.
She was a very gentle person, and she cared.
Yes, she
about,
did. She sure did.
You know, so many of them don't. They're, like you said, they're just government employees and don't
right.
care. Ms. Haygood had a good heart, good care. It snowed one time at the Blind School in Austin, and she took her old car and made us a sled out of some cardboard and pulled us around all afternoon with her old little blind kids, pulled us around, because we'd never seen snow. Hell, we're from Texas. We don't want snow. And she let us out for school and pulled us around in her old Chevrolet all day long. It was great. So you got you graduated the blind school in about 50...
I went first through third grade.
Yeah, that's right. You went to public school, didn't you?
Yeah, I graduated from public school. But anyway, okay. I went first through third grade at the School for the Blind. Then I went fourth, fifth, and sixth grade in this other class I was telling you about. It was four blind kids, but it was held in a regular elementary school.
Uh-huh.
And then they mainstreamed me in seventh grade into a junior high. And regular junior high is the best thing that ever happened to me. I got to be around normal kids.
Yeah.
I always thought blind people were weird anyway.
Lots of them are.
Yes, they are.
I think being blind drives lots of people crazy.
You know, it is. I'll get into this a little later. We have social issues,
mm-hmm.
all of us.
Oh, yeah.
Social issues and difficulties. I've had my share.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of other people have, too. But anyway, I was mainstreamed into seventh grade, so I went seventh and eighth grade at a junior high. Great experience.
Yeah.
Went through high school, another great experience. I was not the most social person in the world. I mean, I didn't get out and go and raise hell and all that all the time, but I just had a good time. I did what I felt a normal kid would do, you know, going to school, going home, doing your homework, you know, doing what you have to do.
And you had some sighted friends?
I did. I mean, I not really, really close, but sure, I mean, just as school friends and stuff, you betcha.
Yeah.
That's all I was around from seventh grade, really up until very recently. I was not around too many blind kids at all.
Well, that's good, because you had been around blind kids. You'd had that experience.
Yeah. I almost wish it had reversed, you know, because all the technology and stuff, I had to look all that up on my own.
Yeah.
You know, because I wasn't really in tune with anybody that said, hey, I'm using this. Have you seen this or that?
Well, it wasn't there. I mean, we didn't have it back then.
That's partly true, too. But I went to high school and graduated high school in 83. And by then, I was so heavy into computers. It was unbelievable. I loved them. Anything I could read, I'd get, you know. And
83, we didn't have us. Did we have a speech engine back then?
Well, I had people reading the screen to me. There was very crude speech. There was some Braille. I'm a big Braille reader. And there was a thing called a Versa Braille that they brought out in 79 or 80. And by the mid-80s, they had a competitor to it. I think you talked to a guy named Kimbrough.
Bradley Kimbrough, I did.
Yeah. He worked for a company called Transformation Systems.
He did.
And I talked to him on the phone one time about this product. Of course, I couldn't afford it. I mean, I wanted it. Couldn't get commissions or anything, of course. But, you know, I went through college with absolutely no adaptive equipment at all.
And
except an Opticon.
Except an Opticon. Boy, there are people who still swear by those.
I've got one over here on my table. I wouldn't give it away. If you held a gun to my head, I wouldn't give it to you.
Yeah, you did you hear the interview I did with this, I can't remember this lady's name, Mary something out in California that reads her computer screen with her Opticon?
Oh, yeah. They still do.
Wow, that is just wild.
I wouldn't want to as slow as I'll get out.
Oh, yeah. And I read something a post the other day about there's some guy or some organization that has agreed to repair them or to
is that right?
to refurbish them. I don't remember where I saw that stuff comes, and I didn't have one, so I went on, you know. But I read somebody sent to one of our lists something about Opticon repair, that because there was a long time when you couldn't buy them and you couldn't have them fixed, you couldn't do anything with them.
I know it. I had one time mine was down. I had one that. I was supposed to keep it through the end of school and then turn it back. Well, they let me keep it because they didn't know what to do with it. Didn't know what it was.
No, didn't. So, why would they want it?
Well, the teacher that had taught it to me, Dorothy Lloyd, moved back up east, up to Maryland or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Maryland. And they didn't know what to do with it because she was the only one that knew anything about the things.
So you just took it home with you?
I took it home with me and kept it. Why not?
Yeah. Listen, Phil. I'm going to take a break.
All right.
Now we're both Phils, and we've been talking about doing this now for a year and a half, having the double Phil show here. You actually use the name Philip more than Phil, though, don't you?
It goes both ways. It doesn't matter. As long as you don't call me late for supper, I don't care.
Well, I was a Philip when I was a kid, and people that knew me when I was a kid, like Ms. Ellis I talked to the other day, I'm Philip Parr to her. But Phil just sounded, I don't know why I did it, but I shortened it. Anyway, Phil Blankenship is our guest from Fort Worth, Texas, and we're going to take a little break and be back and get him in college and talk about his adult life. Hang on, be right back.
Serve.
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List, and it worked.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman List, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line, stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at blindmysmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
All right, we are back. Philip Blankenship from Fort Worth, Texas. Does Fort Worth ever cross your mind? You're not a country music boy, though, are you? You're a rock and roller.
Oh, I used to listen to anything. I mean, if I'm gonna sit down and have a beer or something, I wanna listen to some good old Jim Reeves and Hank Thompson. But
yeah,
you know, if I'm out, you know, riding in my convertible, I wanna listen to 50s and 60s rock.
Yeah,
I like all that. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I'll listen to anything.
And XM's got plenty of 50s and 60s rock.
They sure do. Channel 5 is great, and they use old jingles too that would have been on there. I imagine.
I love them. They're old, just like the 50 stations used to use.
I love that stuff. I love that stuff.
And you never did do radio, but you love radio, don't you?
I enjoy it. I never did it. I thought one time when I was a kid, I thought, man, you know, I'd like to do that. I'd like to play records just like a guy on the radio. But then some other things happened, and I thought, nah, that's not going to make me any money.
And boy, that was one decision you made that was good, sir. You may have made some bad ones, but that was one that was good.
I love to listen to it, though. I really do. I used to lay there when I was in Austin. I'd lay there with a little AM radio that I had, and I'd pick up, oh, good grief, anything, the furthest thing. I was looking for the furthest thing I could get.
Yeah, DXing on AM.
Oh, you bet.
Back when there wasn't so much man-made noise and you could do that.
Back when you could do that. Back in even the early 70s was a good time to do it. I mean, I could get WLS and, you know, KOA in Denver and KKOB not Santa Fe, but what is it, Albuquerque.
KOB in Albuquerque?
Yeah. 770.
Yeah.
And then Well, we've got a local station here on 770 now.
You do, KAAM, that's playing old big band stuff.
Just knock KOB off.
You won't hear that anymore.
You know, it's too bad the clear channels are not there, but they're kind of coming back on XM. They say they're going to have some regional stations around the country, some talk stations and stuff. So there's sort of, you get WLW now, CD quality from Cincinnati on it, and that's fun.
Is it in stereo?
I don't think it doesn't sound like it's in stereo. Of course, it's all talk, so they don't. They have WSIX FM, which sounds in stereo to me on 161.
Which is the Nashville station, WSIX?
Yeah, 98 FM, they call it.
Yeah, and Sirius has got WSM on.
They do. They sure do.
They do, but it's not in stereo.
No, that's true. Of course, it's AM. So
I need to mention that to them. It is not in stereo, but I'm sure the board's in stereo. It could be done. They just because they're not, they're not taking it out of the air. They're getting it.
Yeah.
But it's really funny with WSM because they do WSM channel Sirius 114 or whatever it is for their breaks. So I figure the guy is putting those in the computer. He's doing one break for WSM 650, and then one break for the satellite.
Yeah, sounds like it.
You can do that now with these computers. Speaking of computers. You got into them in high school.
I did.
And in college, you loved them, but you went through college, no assistive technology except Opticon.
Absolutely nothing except Opticon and people reading screens.
Where'd you go to the university? Where'd college you go to?
UTA.
Did you?
University of Texas, Arlington.
Did you now?
I did.
What did you think you wanted to study? What did you study?
I wanted to get in computers when I first started. And I took all the core stuff, history and all that stuff. And got into computers my second year, and I enjoyed it. It was interesting. I got it back up here a little bit. We had a foreign exchange student live with us from Sweden.
Really?
When I was a freshman in high school, and he was a senior, and he liked it so much over here, he wanted to come back and go to college. So he came back and went to college with me. So that let me have transportation to and from my parents' house.
What a deal.
To college, and they let him stay there, for driving me back and forth, that kind of thing.
How neat. I mean, that's just, a dream come true.
It was fun. Well, the lady I told you about, the teacher that I had in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, called my parents up one night. I was between eighth grade and high school and ninth grade in the summer, and she called them one time and wanted to know if she had some contacts, wanted to know if we wanted to host an exchange student for a year. And they called me. Of course, I was taking a nap. They called me and said, "Do you want to do this?" And I said, "Well, yeah, that'd be fun." So here comes this guy, the Swede. And I expect him to, I don't know, I didn't know where Sweden was at the time. I knew it was in Europe, but I didn't know what part. This guy comes in speaking perfect British English.
Really?
I was so disappointed because I wanted to hear some wild accent or something.
He did not have a Swedish accent.
No, he spoke perfect British English, But when he came over, he was a lot of fun. And he went back after his school year back to Sweden. And he wanted to go to college over here, like I said. So he came over and he went to college, graduated over here. But I had a chance and went over there for two summers. I went in 84 and 85 and stayed all summer with his family.
So you went home with him in 84 and 85.
I did.
And now they speak Swedish.
A lot of them speak English. You'd be surprised.
Really?
Most people at least understand some over there. And I got to where I could understand some Swedish. So it was kind of, give and take. But it was a lot of fun.
Well, that'd be a way to learn a language, would be in a home where it was spoken. I mean,
I never could get my tongue all tangled up around my eye teeth.
You can't see what you're saying. That's what my mother used to say.
Never could get the speaking part down, but I got to where I could understand a lot of it.
Now, what did they eat? What sort of foods did they serve?
Meat and potatoes. It is the food's delicious. I mean, it's absolutely delicious, but it's bland. There's not a lot of spices, other than salt and pepper. I mean, it's like a lot of fish, a lot of meat, lots of boiled potatoes.
Well, I like both.
I
would be happy with boiled potatoes and fish.
Oh, you love it over there? That's about all they eat now.
Once a day. They don't eat as much pickled herring as I would think they would, do they?
They do, actually. It's good. I love it. I really acquired a taste for that stuff.
I keep a jar of pickled herring on Phil's shelf in the refrigerator at all times.
Isn't it great? It is good.
I love it, and I keep it. You know, I've always got saltine crackers.
Uh-huh.
And Sundays, my lunch, about twice a month, Phil's lunch is pickled herring and saltine crackers. listen to talk radio.
You bet.
I just love it. It's I was working at this restaurant here in town where I met Mrs. Haygood's son. It was a German restaurant. Uh-huh. It was German. Felton Lemke was his name.
Oh, wow.
And for my, I can't remember what birthday it was, 40-something birthday, he gave me a gallon of pickled herring.
Oh, good God.
Took me about 3 months, but I knocked it out. I just love it. And I like, I like sardines and mustard sauce and weird stuff like that. You know,
I learned to have a real seafood diet over there because that's a lot of what they eat. Shrimp every day.
Is that right?
They shrimp every day. They had for breakfast, they don't have, their breakfasts are different over there. They'll eat like a bowl of oatmeal and a sandwich, what they call a sandwich, which is an open-faced affair. And I had shrimp every day over there. Love the stuff.
I do too. Boiled, I like it better boiled. I'll eat it fried, but I prefer it boiled.
I do too.
And what did you do in the summer while you were over there? What activities?
I actually did whatever Tommy's family did. I did. Met a lot of neat people. They had a country home up in the kind of in the middle of Sweden that they went. Uh-huh. A lot of times they had bought a place. You know how people hear about lake houses and stuff, and they had a place like that. And we went up there quite a bit and just kind of hung out and had fun, and just every experience was new. Everything over there is, he would tell me it's about the same, but when you go over there, it's really not the same. I mean,
it's not. Their laws are in a lot of ways quite different than ours. I mean,
But I didn't really notice a lot of that. I mean, Sweden's one of the most socialistic countries in the world.
Well, in many ways, they're more permissive. Their society is more permissive than ours. I mean, it's not that they're any freer, but they allow they're not nearly as hung up on things as Americans are.
And you'll notice, at least I did, if you ever get a chance to go. But when I went, I noticed that I was treated better as a blind person there than I am many times here.
Yeah.
I really was. I mean, they didn't care. They said, here, have another beer. Let's have some more fun, you know?
Yeah.
And in a country that has the most strict drunk driving laws in the world, of course, I'm partying one night with a bunch of them in a park, and I try to drive a Volvo.
Really?
They didn't like that too much. They had a designated driver. One of the kids was a designated driver.
Yeah.
You know, and no, you can't do that. You can't do that. It's too keyless.
Look at that kid.
And I was starting, it was a standard, and I was too drunk to know. I knew better than to do that. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But I just turned the key and the thing starts rolling. Well, there's people all around it.
Wow.
So, we always had a designated driver when we went partying over there. And he said, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. He took the key. you drove a Falcon and I drove a Volvo.
Yeah, I drove a Falcon. I used to drive. It used to be my motto: every new car we bought, I'm going to drive. But I'm way behind. I've long since quit that. But
it's fun.
Well, it is. It is. I've got. There are a couple guys in town who tell this story about turning the corner and seeing Phil Parr driving a car. He said, it scared me to death. He said, my God, I just pulled up. What the hell is he doing? You're an idiot. You know, that's a couple friends of mine. Anyway, it was 2 summers in Sweden. This was in high school.
This in college.
In college. Okay.
Yeah, 84, 85 during the summer. And I came back, and the rest of my college career, I graduated in 88.
Uh-huh.
The rest of it, I went to school during the summers to try to get out because I had a lot of issues with books, trying to get help.
Imagine.
There was no help anywhere. They really didn't want me out there to begin with. It was just an uphill battle through the whole 5.5 years I went to college. It really was.
So it took you 5.5 years to get a 4-year degree.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And but you got it, and it was in at that time they called it computer science or what?
Information systems.
Information systems.
MIS they called it, and I went through the business school. I didn't go through the engineering bits and bytes part of it. I just went through the business and took COBOL and a networking class and design classes.
Well, I don't know how, because we didn't have speech engine then, did we?
Yeah, anyway. I didn't have anything.
How did you program if you couldn't hear, see what the damn thing was doing?
That's what the telesensory guy asked my dad when he came out to show us equipment when I was looking for a job after I got out of college. He said, how'd he do it? And my dad said, well, you know, he had a screener, you know, people would read the screen to me when I had to do work like that. Other than that, I just taped the classes and listened to books on tape, which I'd rather have Braille, but,
yeah.
You know, I mean, the space just wouldn't allow it, and they didn't Braille, you know, huge books
yeah.
like that. So I just had them on tape. And it's sure no fun having a computer book on tape trying to find something. That's hard.
Well, yeah, oh, man, it would be. It's books on tape are a pain.
They are.
Now we're getting books on CD that are daisy formatted. You can get through them, find what you want to, you know.
Oh, I wish I was going to college today instead of back then.
Good. Oh, man.
All the stuff we've got now.
Everything's accessible now. If you had a textbook that you didn't have, you could scan it in and Braille it yourself.
You can do it now?
You know, without any... Had any problems? So you got out in '88, and then you began hunting a job.
Started looking for a job,
and that was
that's a terrible experience.
It is. Oh, it sure is.
I shouldn't say that.
Well, it
is. People listening to this, I shouldn't say that, but it's hard.
It's difficult, and they might as well know that it's going. Even going to college and getting a degree, I don't care what your degree's in, you're going to have a hard time convincing somebody you can do what they want done.
Yeah, you know, it's like you go in and you said, I had an interview. I had a lot of interviews at UTA, which helped me practice interviewing.
Yeah.
But I had an interview one time with a guy at out here at General Dynamics, and he was an older fellow, and he sat down, and he was talking, and I was going through my little spiel about what I could do and what I've done and this and that and what classes I'd taken and all this. And he said, well, I had a deaf employee, and he started telling me about this deaf employee knocking cigarettes out of people's hands and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it went through my mind, why are you telling me this? You know, and then I almost asked him why he was telling me all this crap, because he was just going on and on and on and on and on. Well, the interview ended, you know, and all this guy wanted to talk about was negativity toward people with disabilities. And I walked out and I told the manager of the little of the department there that was taking care of the interviews and stuff. I said, this is what this guy did. You know, I just want y'all to know, I said, that all this guy wanted to talk about was what you can't do instead of what you can do.
Well, he was lumping you with the deaf person. He was considering, you know, he figured.
Yeah.
You see one handicapped guy, you've seen them all, you know?
Well, haven't you noticed that?
Yeah.
I mean, I've gotten that all my life, you know.
That's the way it is. Right. You know, it's not really a matter of what you can do when you go to the job. You've got to convince somebody you can do it. You know.
Yeah, and I went out one time. I had an interview at Northern Telecom, and I went out there, and I almost got something out there. I just didn't have the equipment to show them. They wanted to see the equipment, and the commission hadn't provided it. And I didn't even have an example. I said, hey, folks, this is available, but I don't have one to show you. And the guy said, well, I'm from Missouri. You need to show me. And I said, I realize that. I just don't have it. I know it's there. There was no way I could tell them. No way that
yeah.
they understand. I still get people coming up. As long as I've been with the county, I still get people coming up, you know, looking at the Braille display saying, how'd that work? And I said, well, put your hand on it, and I'll show you how it works, you know.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I eventually, to make a real long story short.
Well, don't try to do that. We've got plenty of time.
Oh, okay. Well, I looked for a job till 1990, and then I found an internship at the Boy Scouts of America over in Irving in Las Colinas.
Doing what?
Programming. I finally found something, and I went in there, and I programmed for them for about 4.5 months. And they had budget difficulties, so they had to let me go.
Now, what kind of programs would they need written? Well, I'm lost.
Personnel benefits. This is national headquarters of the Boy Scouts.
So okay.
That's any other paper pusher type, anything the other organization would need. I mean, they had a personnel benefits system that they, you know, keeping track of their people in the different sites where they were and this sort of thing. But it was an okay experience.
By then, we were beginning to get the primitive speech.
Yeah, I had VERT Plus then, and I hate speech. I'll go into that a little bit later, but I can't stand speech. But I use it. I mean, I had to use it. That's all they give me. And the commission did set that one up for me, so that was, you know.
Well, you're going to have to, you hate computer speech.
I can't stand speech. Gives
Why?
Me a headache. Gives me the biggest headache you ever saw. I love Braille. Braille is so much more accurate with a Braille display on a computer. I mean, you can go down there and see how words spell, see what it is. It's just so much better and so much faster. It really is.
Man, that just blows me over because I spend a lot of time fooling my computer, but if it didn't talk to me, I'd be lost completely. Because as you well know, I ain't a Braille reader.
Yeah, I have heard that.
I've mentioned that, I think, once or twice
Not
on this.
Once or twice.
I get letters all the time. Will you shut up about Braille reading? Anyway, mostly Tim Hendel, whom I love dearly.
The Blind Side guy.
Tim, no.
Blindside thing for you.
I don't have anybody doing it right now.
No, there was. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Some guy out there heard a commercial. It is your Blindside commercial that was on there.
Blindsight.
Yeah, yeah.
That's me.
Oh, is that you?
Doing that voice, yeah.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, the guy that comes on there and says, okay, I got this site, it's www.
Oh, that's
whatever.
Tim Cummings.
Oh, okay.
That's
okay.
Tim Cummings. Now, he's a Braille reader.
Okay.
And you and Tim would hit it off, I can tell
right.
you that. Tim works in Boston, I think he works for Con Ed. He's a customer service guy. If you want electricity hooked up, he can tell you how to do it.
Oh, okay.
He's the customer guy. But he's into audio and into computers, and he's just... I never would have met Tim Cummings had I not started doing this, and that makes it all worthwhile, sir.
You know, it is. I know this is fun for you. I mean, it really is. This is a neat. You're providing a neat service.
Well,
that's why I'm doing it.
There's so many people that never would have gotten together, that never would have known each other, and I never would have known. I certainly gotten a lot more out of it than I've put in.
And it's just a neat thing. I feel like if there's one person out there listening to this that says, "Gee, I can't do it. I don't know what I'm going to do
with
my life." You know, this sucks. Well, trust me, it works out.
If we could turn one person, we've done a good service.
That's it.
If we've shown,
it does work out.
And we've done more than that, because I've talked to people, several people who wanted to do woodwork or wanted to do handyman things and thought they couldn't until they got to listen to us and figured, well, if they can do it, I can.
Well, I got a few stories later I'll tell you about that.
that's good. Let's take a break, and then we're going to hear a couple more stories.
All right.
Philip Blankenship from Fort Worth, Texas is our guest. We'll be right back. Hang on.
Certifies screen reader friendly. Now, with this week's Blind Sight, here's Tim Cummings.
Are you looking for broadcast equipment like microphones, telephone interfaces, CD players, anything for your broadcast studio at home, whether you're a professional broadcaster or an amateur just starting out? Well, you should take a look at www.bswonline.com. BSW stands for Broadcast Supply West or Broadcast Supply Worldwide. One of the two, I'm not sure. They are a great company. They sell tons and tons of professional broadcast equipment, and the great thing about them is every year, a couple times a year, they run what they call an overstock sale, and they sell items that are either overstocked or items that are open box that people have sent back for some reason that they didn't like, or items that are refurbished. And so you can get some really great deals. I've bought some microphones at half price, and they're really an excellent company. Their site's very accessible. They ship very quickly. I buy most of my audio equipment from them. I can't say enough good things about them. I would give the website a screen reader friendliness rating of a 9. And their website, again, is www.bswonline.com. For Blind Sights, this is Tim Cummings saying, keep on blind sighting.
If you found a screen reader friendly website you'd like us to mention, send your email to blindlikeme, all one word, at txucom.net. And join us again next time for Blind Sights.
Okay. A spoiler on my Mustang. I've got a 99 Mustang convertible.
Yeah.
GT, and I put a lot of Go Fast parts on it.
Uh-huh.
I put a spoiler on the front of it that looks kind of like there's a Mach 1 that's been out a couple of years. And I cussed that thing. I mean, I taped it up and was going to put these little self-starting screws
uh-huh.
that you put into the soft plastic, you know, and you
uh-huh.
screw it in. I had it all taped up. And the thing fell down on the end. I cussed that thing. I said, you son of a bitch. I can't believe it.
Well, what, the screws wouldn't work? You couldn't?
No, I just couldn't keep the thing taped up right. I lined it up trying to put it under the bumper.
Oh,
the car. It goes under the bumper of the car. And I tried to line the thing up, you know, put it on. Every time I did, one end would fall down. So what I did was I ended up starting from one end of the spoiler by the front tire. And then I went to the other. It wraps around out to the from each front to one front tire to the other,
uh-huh.
all around the bottom of the bumper. And so I did those, and then I started lining the thing up from the front. But boy, that was hard. Dang, that was a mess.
Well, you could, well, you know, the thing would have been done would have been to have clamped it on one side, then gone and done the other side, then come back and unclamped it and put.
Yeah,
done
I know it, and I didn't have anything. I looked for something, didn't have anything to
go to the hardware store and buy a C-clamp.
Oh, I know it. I was done, but I wanted it on then. I didn't want, you know, I'm the kind of person when I want something done, I want it done now.
Well, you
I
think?
Wait.
Did you think I stopped the recorders?
Oh no, that's okay.
I didn't.
Okay, that's
I didn't. They're rolling. I'll take the SOB out, or maybe I'll just leave it.
Well. It is a family show.
It is a family show, but we'll take that out. It won't hurt a thing. Philip Blankenship is who we're talking with, and we didn't. He wanted to tell that story off the air, but it's a good story, and we needed it told on the air.
Well, it's all right. You get it.
All right, we got. Oh, I can.
You're an editor, aren't you?
I am. I
you can edit it.
Well, I might not though. I might.
That doesn't matter.
I leave it on.
Okay.
Let's see. So you hate speech, but
I
you
can't
got
stand it.
You got you a little job out at the boy the girls Boy Scouts.
Boy Scouts. So out in Las Colinas out there. It lasted 4.5 months.
And 4.5 months, but that gave you some job experience.
It did.
Working around people.
It did. And then I'm back, you know, back looking for a job again. And the commissions are not helping as usual. And I'm looking, can't find anything. About May of 91, I finally gave in. They had this computer programming for the physically challenged at El Centro College in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
And, I didn't want to do that because I'd already taken all that crap. But they said, well, you know, the commission said, well, we don't know where you are and we don't know what you can do. So there wasn't anything else I could do. I went through this 11-month program, learning how to program, which I'd already done. So I pretty much just
cruised
through the motions, you know.
Yeah.
And I got an internship over here at Tarrant County. That was they required a degree. They were the only internship company that this program was involved with that had to have a degree to work for them. So I had one, so they sent me over here.
Yeah.
There's no transportation over here. So my dad drove me for 9 months. He had a job where he could do that. He drove me for 9 months over here and back so I could work over here. And I finally got an apartment. But I think that was pretty neat. I mean, that's neat to have parents like that that won't.
It was that was wonderful of your father to do
it
that.
Was. It was fantastic.
Because there was no other way to do it. He saw there was no other way to do it, and he said, well, I'll just drive you.
Well, that's what he's always done. That's what they've always said. Well, you've got to do it.
And you know, so you interned with Tarrant County. They were paying you, but not much.
Well, they weren't paying the first. Well, yeah, they were paying me minimum wage. I started in 92. May of 92 is 14 years ago this month.
Yeah.
And they did pay me a little bit, and then the director called me in and gave me this. They, you had to take an aptitude test, or you used to have to take one to be a programmer over here.
Uh-huh.
I took the test, and one day, it's real funny, I was really tired one afternoon. And it was getting toward the end of the internship, and oh, I was just dying for some reason. And I almost dropped off. I mean, I was using Vert, had the headphones on. I was almost dropped off, and here was a tap on my shoulder. It was a director. He said, I need to see you a minute. And I thought, this guy. guy's going to fire me. He has just seen me not happen. But this guy's going to kill me.
The aptitude test, I'm sure you scored quite high on. So.
I did. He took me in there, sat me down, and he said, you passed the test. You did fine. So he said, we want to keep you, but we don't have a position. You have to, in the government work, you have to have slots, and you have people for each slot.
Yeah.
So I had I didn't have a slot, but he said, we want to keep you, and here's what we'll do. We'll keep you on temporary. And I said, okay, what else can I do? You know, when I wasn't too much else I could do at that point. So
well,
I stayed until January of 93, and then they put me on permanent January 93, and I've been there ever since.
Yeah.
I've moved around all over the department. I've done some database work. I've worked on about every system we've got. And now I'm working on the criminal justice system. Doing a few things on that right now.
But at your computer, you do not have JAWS on your computer.
Oh, yeah. I just use the Braille driver instead of speech.
You use the Braille display instead of speech. Speech is turned off.
Right.
And your workers around you love that.
They don't mind. They love it because I can answer the phone and look at the display at the same time.
That's true.
You know, you can talk on the phone and say, okay, it's this is this way and that's that way and whatever else.
Yeah, with a headset on.
Not on the phone. I mean, I just have the receiver and then...
Cradle a receiver between your ear and your shoulder and
Braille
with your hands. But the speech is turned off.
Uh-huh.
You have it, but it's turned off.
Right.
What is your... I mean, is their system integrated so that you can work in several areas from the same computer, or do you have to keep moving your Braille display, or...?
It is such that I've got a cubicle, and I just use the same computer all the time. So I've got JAWS loaded, and I've got everything else I need loaded. Matter of fact, I use WindowEyes as well. And it really is turning into a better screen reader for some things than JAWS.
Well, now, there are people that use WindowEyes say that. I've got a friend named Chris Inchenko, lives in Madison, Wisconsin, that swears. He says, you know, once you use WindowEyes, you'll never go back to JAWS.
You know, it reads things, for some reason, it reads things that JAWS just won't read. And two, you know, JAWS has all the scripting and all the stuff that you have to go through. And WindowEyes has what they call set files. But that's more of a setting your speech environment up, slow, fast, whatever you want to. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, that's what it is, a speech environment, they call it. It's a set file. And WindowEyes, for some reason, and I love products like this that just work. Or anything that just works. I mean, you don't know why, you don't care. It just does the job.
It just reads what you want.
It just does it, and there's no nonsense and no fiddling with it, no tinkering with it. It just works, you know, and I love things like that.
Well, I've about talked myself. I'm fixing to get a little windfall. I really am. One of my relatives died, and I think they finally settled the... that's what you do is wait around for old people to die so you can have their money. That's what all of us who live. Anyway, this lady, an aunt of mine, died. And I think I'm going to get a little windfall. I think I may buy WindowEyes and just have both.
I would if I were you. I really would because...
I want to know. I want to know if is what they say about WindowEyes true. Because, boy, those people who use it just swear by it.
I'll give you an example. There's a program out there called VTuner. It's VTuner.com. And you can download this thing, and it will tune radio stations for you. It's got a list, big old list of radio stations on the Internet. And you can go down by country or by genre or by format.
Probably by city,
Yeah, if you want to see all the talk stations or all the rock stations or all the country stations or all the, you know, stations in Australia or New Zealand or something like that, you can go down to it. WindowEyes works with that. And JAWS just sits there.
It just won't work.
Yeah, just won't do it. You'd have to script it to do it. And quite frankly, I don't want to have a program that I have to program to read the screen with.
And you'd have to buy that from somebody anyway.
That's ridiculous. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous.
I have the Audigy sound, a big, nice Audigy sound card with the, doesn't have a breakout box, but it has controls on the front, line in and line out, and earphone jack on the front. And it's a beautiful sound card, and I can go... to to my computer or wherever. Let's see. I don't remember exactly where to go, but I can go to sounds and I can enable or disable any one of those line ins or line outs, or I can set tone controls. The master mixer, I don't know what I'm trying to. I've lost my word here, but the volume control, creative volume control.
Okay.
Jaws won't read it.
I'll be dog.
Just sits there. You're right. It just sits there. No cursor. You know, root PC to Jaws, Jaws to PC, use cyber cursor, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Just nothing. I mean, no, you can tab till your hand falls off and nothing.
I bet you window has wood. For some reason, I don't know what it is, but for some crazy reason, there are things that Jaws just will not do.
I've asked everybody that I could think of that's supposed to be a tech guy, and they say, well, I guess you're just not supposed to read that. Well, BS. I want to read it.
You want to read it.
My wife reads it. My wife has to set it for me. Baby, would you turn the highs up on my computer? Because I'm an idiot and I can't.
There you go. I mean, I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to download an evaluation copy.
And they'll let
you do that, and it'll work for so much.
Yeah.
You know, so much time or whatever, and then of course you can always do it again if you want to. But
I guess you could, but I'd got no problem buying Window Eye. I mean,
if it works,
I'll buy it.
If I were you, I'd do it. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you might want to try it out and make sure it does what you want it to.
Well, I got to make sure that we can afford homogenized milk. And my wife will probably need a second dress. And I may need new blue jeans before I jump out here and buy these things.
See, I'm single. That's why I have a Mustang out in the garage. I mean,
you got a Mustang you're restoring? Or what?
No, I got a 99 GT convertible I bought brand new.
Yeah.
And it's great. I'm a car nut. I mean, I am a car nut from way back.
I kind of got that impression. And you have a wife that drives this convertible?
No, I'm single. Like I say, I let family members and, you know, friends and whoever drive it around.
You're single?
Time to time, yeah. Yeah, still am.
You realize that 5,000 single blind women out there just went, God, I hope he gives an email address.
Well, you know, I haven't found anybody that can put up with me yet.
You will.
Happen one of these days.
It'll happen one of these days, and when you least expect it, it'll.
Yeah,
it'll,
that's what I've heard. That's what I've always heard. You know, I put one of the things I've done, and a lot of people do this, a lot of people don't, but I've put a lot into my job and into my career and this kind of thing to get where I am now. I felt like it was all or nothing. You know, for me, I thought it was either, okay, I'm going to the lighthouse, or, and I don't mean to disparage lighthouses, but, or I'm going to, you know, go as far as I can go.
With this job.
Yeah.
You'll be there with the county. This will be your deal. Retire from the county.
Oh, yeah. I've got 10 more years to go, and I'll be eligible to retire, so I'm just going to stick with them.
All right. One more quick question. We're about out of time. How do you get back and forth to work every day?
I use our MIT system. It's a transportation system for
Andy Ride system in Fort Worth.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It really is pretty good. A lot of blind people would say, "Well, I don't want to use that. I want to use, you know, buses or whatever." Well,
fine. Hey,
you know, real quick, there's practical and there's possible. You know, I can go out of here right now and take a cane and walk down the street. That's possible. But practical is, to me, you know, is it really practical to go out in the driving rain and freezing cold and the heat and the, you know, all this stuff to go down and try to catch four or five buses to get to work?
If the handy ride's available, I keep telling my friend John Conley, who goes back and forth in Dallas, if it's available, why don't you use it?
Yeah.